Okay, good evening. Thank you for coming. Actually, tonight is going to be the final installment in our Yichud series. Just the way it worked out. I think next week the plan is we'll give like a pre-Thanksgiving shiur. You're going to ask Akasha. It's more than the day before Thanksgiving. But the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, we won't give a shiur. So next week we'll give a shiur maybe about whether turkey is kosher. I just thought it's like a cool topic to talk about in honor of Thanksgiving. And then my plan was after Thanksgiving, if you're all in agreement, that we can give a series of shiurim about Geirus, about conversion to Judaism today, in light of stuff that everyone is talking about, or I should say everyone and their uncle is talking about in terms of conversion. So I think the next big series that we'll do will be on Geirus. Tonight I want to talk about, there are source sheets over there, tonight I want to talk about what we're calling yichud in professional situations, specifically yichud with a doctor, yichud with a therapist, etc. Now, obviously, it's not necessary that there's going to be an issue of yichud with your doctor or therapist. A female could use a female doctor, a male could use a male doctor, a male could use a male therapist, etc. That would solve lots of problems for yichud. And I should point out that there are some poskim who say, well, that's really what you have to do. Like, nothing else to talk about. Right? Women should use female doctors, men should use male doctors. But sometimes it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes the best practitioner in a particular field that you need is of the opposite gender, no? That could happen. So in those situations, we get involved in yichud issues potentially. So what we're going to discuss tonight is, are there heterim? What are the heterim, etc.? Everybody's doing it. No? This is one of these situations that, like Rav Moshe Feinstein has in one of his tshuvas that we'll see later, that even big talmidei chachamim and wives of big talmidei chachamim, like the most orthodox people, you know, with pupik beards and everything, like people really look like the part, but they all go to doctors of the opposite gender. Is there a kula? Some poskim say, yeah, sure, there are kulas. All the traditional kulas that we have by yichud. Meaning to say, Rav Moshe Sternbach writes in the tshuva, in Chelak Galasim and Tafshin Ayin He, it's easy to remember, that's this year, Tafshin Ayin He. Rav Moshe Sternbach writes in the tshuva that, you know, if a woman has to go to the doctor, make sure your husband comes with you and your husband stays in the waiting room the whole time. Let's say you don't have a husband, bring somebody else. What's it going to help? Well, it's going to help because in those situations, the relative will always potentially knock on the door. Usually in a medical situation, yichud is a little more complicated than usual, right? In the normal yichud situation, if I have the door and the door is closed but not locked, so the assumption is people might come in. In a medical situation, if people are going to come in, you might be examined. People won't come in just unannounced. So yichud is more complicated. Zucker Moshe Sternbach, tell the husband, even if he like is learning in yeshiva, that's the only profession he can imagine, even if he's learning in yeshiva, whatever, take off time from learning. When your wife has a doctor appointment, go. That's what he argues. He says, you know what, maybe you can rely on the fact that if you have a regular doctor, so the nurses might come in sometimes. If the doctor has some emergency, so the nurse might come in. So that also solves the issue. If there are people out in the waiting room and they get really impatient, they might also come in. So those are like classical heterim for yichud. They don't always work, especially by therapists, no? I have no idea why God made the world the way he did, but doctors have secretaries and receptionists and nurses. A therapist usually doesn't have a secretary or a receptionist or a nurse, right? You go to see the therapist, and the only thing that's in the office is the therapist, right? So is there a concern for yichud in these cases? This is what we are going to be discussing tonight. Most of the discussion in poskim is about doctors, and we'll try to put in the context of therapists as well. The first big kula that the poskim describe is a kula called ba'avitaihu tarid, that you're busy with your work. And because you're busy with your work, there's no concern of yichud. Now, where does this come from? So it comes from a Gemara. Everything starts in Gemara, right? Well, something starts in Chumash, actually. But for our purposes, we're starting from Gemara. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf that there's a prohibition to stare at Bigdei Tzeva Shel Isha, to stare at a woman's colored garments. The Gemara says, "On Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, even if the colored garments are on a wall, it's an iser because shelo yaharher adam bayom v'yavol idekari balayla. It's forbidden to stare at the clothing because it might lead you to have illicit thoughts." Amar Rav Papa b'makir balehen. The case is only if you recognize the person who owns it, right? If you just go to a store and no one owns it, so then it doesn't apply. But if you recognize the person who owns it, then it's a problem. Amar Rav Dekanai midiktani v'lo bebigdei tseva isha v'lo ketani bebigdei tziv onim shema mina. Okay, so far so good. Then the Gemara says that the prohibition is only if it's older clothing, not newer clothing. In other words, older clothing that had already been worn. The Gemara says, how do we ever give our clothing to be made nicer? When you buy a new outfit, so you usually give it to some sort of tailor to fix, to embellish, to make it nicer. The Gemara says, how do we give our clothing to the tailor? Isn't there a prohibition of not staring at the colored garments? Right? The Gemara asks, how come it's takel? So the Gemara says, whoa, that's not so simple. L'tameich, ha'adam Rav Yehuda min b'mino mutal hachnes kimachu b'shvoferes. A person, not the most pleasant idea, but a person is allowed to have a profession. I don't think anyone in Mount Sinai has this job called animal breeder. What does the animal breeder do? The animal breeder takes a male animal and a female animal and is machnes kimachu b'shvoferes. Right? He brings them together. So the Gemara asks, can't that lead to herhurim? Can't that lead to illicit thoughts? How are you allowed to have that type of profession? No one says, by the way, you can't have that profession of animal breeder. Apparently, you could have it. The Gemara asks, aren't you being mistakel? So the Gemara answers, ba'avid teitarid. The Gemara answers, you know what? We're not worried about having illicit thoughts because you are busy with your work. Meaning the animal breeder and the tailor who fixes the clothing, both are working, and because of they are doing this work, we're not worried they're going to have illicit thoughts. But avite tarid. Many poskim say, okay, now we got a kula, no? How come a doctor is allowed to have yichud with his patients? By the way, the touching that doctors do, the Gemara says, or I shouldn't say the Gemara, the Shach writes, is absolutely permitted. The Shach and Kuf Tzadi Hesiv Katan Chav writes that the prohibition of Negiyah is only if it's Derechiba. Right? Touching is only if it's in a loving sort of way. Now, every high school kid always says, oh, come on, it's not Derechiba, right? But let's be honest. Right, we'll just say it like that. Right? But the fact is, if a doctor has to touch a patient of the opposite gender, right, a physical therapist, a doctor, that's certainly not a problem. That the prohibition of negiyah is only derechiba, but the prohibition of yichud should be on a certain level worse than negiyah, because yichud, even if it's not derechiba, if you're secluded, even if it's not secluded in an amorous sort of way, whatever that would mean, right? It still is forbidden. So many poskim say, whoa, 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 but maybe we have a kula. The kula is avite tarid, that you're busy working. And because you're busy working, that solves all of doctors' problems. Not bad, right? Not bad. Now, a few things can be said about this. First of all, we could question whether avite tarid is a kula at all for yichud. Second of all, in the context of psychologists, I think we have to acknowledge that it might not be tarid. Right? Let's be honest. If you work with your hands, if you're a tailor, if you are this animal breeder, right, you're actually physically involved. What do psychologists do? They schmooze. Doesn't sound like such a bad job to me, actually. But you do a lot of schmoozing. You talk to people, you get to know them, right? So, I don't know if it's called Torah necessarily. I don't know if this cooler would apply to psychologists. Perhaps yes, but perhaps not. But even if the cooler does apply, right, to psychologists, one could argue that the cooler does not apply at all, that there's no such cooler of Avitei Torah by Yichud. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach makes the following argument. He wants to say that the only time we have Avitei Torah in the Gemara is the concern of Hirhurim. A person might come to have illicit thoughts. By the way, the Isser of Hirhurim applies both to men and to women, no? Don't think this is only by having illicit thoughts applies to women as well. The Gemara says if I'm a professional, Avitei Torah, and there's no Hirhurim. But does that permit Yichud? One could argue that Hirhurim is the type of prohibition that I shouldn't have illicit thoughts because it might lead to doing Averos. Yichud, perhaps, as paradoxical as it might sound, but we've discussed this idea beforehand, Yichud might be inherently an Avera on its own. It's not just a concern that it might lead down the road, right? The Rav Shach writes in his Sefer, the Avi Ezri, the first piece in Perchav Bezvi Surabiya, Rav Shach writes that he thinks the Isser of Yichud itself is called Krev Ala Arayos. Being secluded with a person, that itself is a way of coming close. It's not just that we're worried it will lead further. It's forbidden on its own. So one could argue from that ground that Yichud is not permitted based on Avitei Torah. But Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a text that he thinks proves that Yichud is not permitted based on Avitei Torah. Now, there's some unfortunate cases that come up in Shulchan Aruch about how you bury. Now, there's the dinim of Kavod Hames. When someone dies, so we try to have a respectful funeral. And there are halachas of how many people should come to the funeral that's considered Kavod Hames. The bare minimum of people that should go to a funeral for Kavod Hames is if a little baby dies. Right? Sometimes, like when a little baby dies, actually have a larger funeral than when older people die, because it's viewed as a terrible tragedy, which of course it is. But the Gemara assumes that there's less Kavod Hames. Fewer people have to attend a funeral when the little baby dies. And the Gemara discusses how many people go to the funeral when the baby dies. Zakh the Gemara. A baby all 30 days. That means within the first 30 days of the baby's life, when the baby still halachically is considered a nefel, technically, they might not be avelos if a baby dies within 30 days. So yotze b'chik, you don't have to put the baby in the coffin. You could take the baby in a sack, in a bag. V'nikbar be'isha achas u'shnei anoshim. And you bury the baby with one woman and two men. That's the bare minimum funeral. You shouldn't have one man and two women. Abba Shaul says, af ish echad u'shtei noshim. Abba Shaul says that even one man and two women is permitted for the burial. Now, remember, we said in the Mishnah that one man should not have yichud with two women. Right? One woman technically can have yichud with two men. But Abba Shaul says that one man and two women are allowed to go to bury the baby. Shouldn't there be a concern of Yichud? So the Gemara says, you know what? B'shas aninus tavir yitzrei. During the time of aninus, during times of sadness, so the Yetzahara is destroyed. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, even though ordinarily there's an issue of Yichud with one man and two women, but shas aninus tavir yitzrei. Shulchan Aruch paskins that this baby, you take him b'cheik to the cemetery, not in a coffin, and you bury the baby with one woman and two men, not with one man and two women, because of Yichud. Meaning we don't pask on a gabashol, we assume that there is a concern of Yichud. Zakim Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, interesting. What are these people doing? They're carrying the baby to Kavura, no? Isn't that Avitei Torah? If you assume that Avitei Torah is Matir Yichud, when you're doing work, so over here they're doing some sort of work, They're carrying the baby to the kavura. They're going to dig the grave, put the baby in the grave. Oh, okay. Good. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wants to say that you see from this Gemara that Avid Teitarid doesn't help as a heter for Yichud. However, in this book that I brought here somewhere, this Ulzer HaYichud, he argues, he says, no, maybe the issue is for the way back. Think about it. Okay, so you were busy to bury the Tinok. Got it. But what happens after? Right? On the way back from the funeral, maybe that's when there's a concern of Yichud. So perhaps the heter of Avid Teitarid still exists by Yichud. Some contend, though, that we have another source against Avid Teitarid by Yichud. Another source. The Rush in Kedushin explains a Mishnah. So let's go slowly. The Mishnah has a line that kol sha'asako im hanashim lo yisyachid im hanashim. That anyone who is always busy with women should not have yichud with women. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara explains what that means is like the person who sells perfume shouldn't have yichud with the women. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Rashi and the Rabbi Nuchanan, quote in the Rush, disagree about what's the pshat in this Mishnah. Rashi understands what the Mishnah means is if I am a soko im hanashim, so I have a higher prohibition of yichud. Since I deal with women all the time, so therefore yichud for me is more asr because there's more of a concern that I might slip up. That's Rashi's understanding. Okay, not bad. The Rush, however, quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel. Here, turn. Well, you don't have to turn. It's on the same page. It says, Rush in Kedushin Perek Dalet Simen Chav Zayin. Four lines before the end of this Rush, four words before the end of the line, it says, V'Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish. Rabbeinu Chananel lived in Kairu An. No? He died, if I'm not mistaken, in the year 1020. He's like the very end of the period of the Gaonim. He may be the first author of a running commentary on all of Shas, because what they usually call the commentary of Rabbeinu Gershom on Shas is probably not Rabbeinu Gershom, it's probably other Chachamim from Magensa, not Rabbeinu Gershom himself. So Rabbeinu Chananel may have written the earliest commentary on all of Shas. So Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Gemara, says the Rush. Even though I am always involved with women, still I can't have yichud. Meaning it's the opposite of what Rashi said. Rashi said, asoko im hanoshim is a chumra. It's a reason why you would think that you should be usering yichud. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, no, asoko im hanoshim is a reason why it should be permitted. Because you're always involved with women, so therefore yichud should be permitted. By the way, this is one of the tensions in our world, no? In our world, men and women, I think, have greater interaction than they had in Jewish world until now. We'll say it like that. Correct? I think it's a fair statement. Now, how does that work? Do we assume that because there's greater familiarity, that you're more involved, therefore it's more of a reason why you might stumble and do averos? Or do we say no? Right? We're very familiar with each other, we're good friends, and we're not going to do averos. Right? That averos are more likely to happen, you know, with those people who like walk on their knuckles or whatever, you know, in Lakewood. But you know, us, it's not going to happen. I don't mean that. Like anyone from Lakewood was listening to the tape, I don't mean that. It's just like an expression. But the fact is, one can argue that greater familiarity on the one hand, perhaps it leads to more likelihood of Avera. On the other hand, maybe greater familiarity leads to less likelihood of Avera. And that seems to be a machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Balkosha Sako and Hanasha, no? Which I think is conceptually interesting. This comes up in Shulchan Aruch also in terms of mixing at weddings. The Levush has a famous comment about this. There's a whole shir that we could give on that topic itself, but this seems to be the dispute Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. So again, let's review. Rabbeinu Chananel says that because you are asako im hanashem, therefore it would seem that yichud is permitted. Now, why would I think yichud is permitted? Zok the Rosh, in explanation of the Rabbeinu Chananel, mashma, shirot zelomar. What's this guy doing? He's selling cosmetics, perfumes. He's a working man, no? So because he's involved in working, he's not going to do any aveira, right? Every aveira means loss of money because there's more perfume to sell down the road, no? So I would say, even though we could be more mekel because of avidte tarid, still what? Or the Rush has a second explanation, Mishum de'eno yacholi zaher, or because you can't possibly be careful. We'll talk about that line perhaps also. The two possible explanations of Rabbeinu Chananel is either avidte tarid or because you can't be careful. Therefore, I would think it's permitted, but zok the Mishnah, asako im hanashim, don't have yichud. Right? Remember, the Mishnah says, kosh asako im hanashim lo yisyached. Rabbeinu Chananel understands what that means. I would have said it's mutter because of avidte tarid, because I'm the Avon salesman. But aren't all Avon salesmen women, by the way? Fine. But, got it. But I would have said it's mutter because of that. We say, no, not true. Why? Apparently, there is no heter of avidte tarid. So, Rabbi Azariah Berzon, who is the founder of Mivaseret, no? He wrote an article in Tchum in Volume 10. It was also, part of it was in English in the RGJ journal at one point. He tries to come with many kulos for Yichud, and he says, oh, I'm going to give you lots of kulos of Avidte Tarid, but you should know it's all against this rush. That's what he points out in the footnote. And we'll talk about that more in a second, yeah.
Why can't we read a rush saying that it's not for that job of someone who's always osik with a woman that it's
usher,
but we would apply avidte tarid by other professions?
Well, once I'm saying avidte tarid, that's an expression that applies to many professions, not only to Avon salesmen.
Why can't you say the Rosh? Meaning, the Rosh is saying, generally we would apply that kula, however, this is a special case that we're going to say, no, if people have the usher.
I would have applied the kula of avidte tarid.
Just like we would apply by all other
professions. So you're saying, in other words, you're saying that maybe avidte tarid really is a kula,
yeah,
in general. But for some reason, in this case, why? Because of Rashi, perhaps. Right? That's unusual. Usually when you have a machlokes, we try to minimize the dispute, no? Rashi says, asaka manashim is worse. Rabbeinu Chananel says it's better. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, in the half, I would have thought it's better because of avidte tarid. And the conclusion of the Mishnah is that it's even worse than anyone else. Now, that's unlikely, that the movement between the Hava Amina and the Maskana, between what we think initially and what we think at the end, is so extreme. Usually the pendulum shifts like towards the middle. It doesn't go all the way, unless you're on like the Buccaneer ride and the, usually it doesn't go all the way. It's possible, but it's unlikely.
He's not saying it's so extreme. He's just saying, I would have thought that the regular kula would be the case in this case, but no,
since I'm asako im hanashim, so then...
A regular guy who is not... Meaning to...
Asako im hanashim takes away avidte tarid. There's avidte tarid... is almost like a psychological deterrent, but because the familiarity that you have, perhaps, okay, if you say it like that, so then we have a kula of avidte tarid still. I just think that this question is a serious question based on the Rush. Perhaps what you're suggesting, what Arios and David are suggesting, I think, could be. I have to think about it a little bit more because, like in the middle of this year, sometimes my mind works slowly. But, okay, that could be. That could be. Now, just to the Tzitz Eliezer, by the way, deals with this issue of whether a Bintei Torah is a Kula, he points out that there's a tshuva of the Radvaz. We're going to talk about the Radvaz in a few minutes. The Radvaz uses a Bintei Torah halacha lamaisa as a Kula by Yichud. So the Tzitz Eliezer jumps up and down and spits water nickels and says, wowza, that don't make sense. Right? That's against the Rush. Right? The same thing that we're bothered by. So the Tzitz Eliezer develops the following idea, which I think might not be as good as what Ariel and David is suggesting. But his idea is that maybe we only say Avintei Torah is a Kula if they're both busy. Both the man and the woman in the Yichud situation are busy. But if one of them is working and the other isn't, then there's no Kula of Avintei Torah. Right? Meaning to say, in the Radvaz's case, the case is women who are working in a mixed setting. Is there an Isra Yichud? The men are working, the men, women are working, is there an Isra Yichud in that case? So says the Tzitz Eliezer over there, everybody's working. So everyone's Avintei Torah, so there's no Yichud. But in a situation where one person's an Avon salesman, so he's working, but the woman in the house isn't working in that case, or she's working and the guy who's buying the perfume isn't working, whatever it is, so in that situation there's no heter. That's the Tzitz Eliezer's argument, which I think is interesting, but according to that argument, Avintei Torah would never help us in the case of a doctor or a therapist, no? Because according to the Tzitz Eliezer, Avintei Torah only helps if they are both busy. If both parties, right, are working. But it doesn't help if only one. Yeah, Lisa?
Yeah, does it help at all if, let's say, for a therapist or whatever, right? Let's say it's a male therapist, right, and the woman is coming. She also, even though she's not necessarily working, she's coming there with a specific purpose in mind.
Right, so she's certainly thinking...
Certainly not working, but it's definitely... You know what I mean? She has an agenda.
I don't know. I don't know. Again, we really would have to scope out the parameters of Avintei Torah to come up with this kula. Just being involved in thought. The Gemara does have a concept of tira de mitzvah, no? The Gemara speaks about a chassan, his wedding night, being exempt from saying Kriya Shema because his thought is all preoccupied with doing a mitzvah. That concept does exist in halacha. Maybe... it requires much more work, but it's a suggestion. Yes, Easy?
Perhaps to help answer, when I was a psychology major, so one of the things you were always cautioned about was that in a therapeutic setting, the patient has a lot of intense emotion, and well, I have that, they're far more inclined to develop intense feelings, sometimes of anger, but oftentimes of affection, or even more towards the authority figure of trying to help them before the end. But it is something that
transference is real.
They're just really uncomfortable about that. It is a very fraught situation, and the patients, because the patient feels intensely, they are in fact perhaps more likely rather than less likely to.
Yes. Yes, certainly. I think that is an issue, and we all have heard the disaster stories. They're out there, and that certainly is something to take into account. So, we have this discussion of Avintei Torah. Does it help? Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that, the therapy situation, therapists are very different, but if what Elisa's saying applies to, like, any other profession, like, the guy sitting there fixing the computer, you're working next to them on the filing, then it's not, you're both, like...
You're both working.
Right.
So again, those situations also...
Oh, sorry, that's not what I meant, because it doesn't make sense what Lisa was saying. But it's not a doctor-patient situation, where, you know, one person, it does have their own agenda, and I think those agendas would happen, but you're less likely to form attachment.
So in other words, if I'm doing my own thing, I'm not going...
Are you cleaning lady?
Right, so that's a question. Is there a heter because the clean away comes into the house and I'm working from home? Right? Is there a yichud in that situation? So you could say, oh, it's a Avintei Torah. I'm doing my work, she's doing her work. What could be the problem? Perhaps I could hear that. On the other hand, these situations obviously are nasnu dvarecha l'shiurim, right? Because very often you take breaks during work, right? And the like, but... Certainly, those situations, there is something to think about. we might not have firm conclusions tonight. We're trying to hash out this issue to the best of our ability. Let's continue. The Radvaz uses Avidte Tarid in the following case. This is, remember, we spoke about the Radvaz. The Radvaz moved to Egypt. The Radvaz lived in Egypt, then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He died around the age of 110, moved to Eretz Yisrael when he was 80 because he wanted to die in Eretz Yisrael. His bad luck, he moves to Eretz Yisrael. He thinks he's going to learn all day. He ends up moving to this town called Tzfat, where he thinks no one's going to be there. All of these like little Kabbalist guys are suddenly moving to Tzfat. So the Arizal's Rebbe was the Radvaz. The Arizal died when he was 40, no? Scary. And Arizal, what that means, he was around 70 years younger than the Radvaz. I used to feel like that Lahavdil, like when I was at Rosh Hashiva meetings with Rav Gershon Yankelevich, who was 65 years older than me. That was my Radvaz one. So the Radvaz has a question. The bottom of the first page. She'alta mimeni. He asked me. Almas shenagu b'mitzrayim she'holkos anashal masas malacha b'beis ha'akum. Women go and they do work in the guy's house. And they're there for a few days doing work. And sometimes they're wives of Kohanim who go there to do work. Is there an Isser or not? Because they're having Yichud with the Goyim. So the Radvaz says at first glance he thinks it's Pritzas Gadol, it's a terrible thing. But then he comes up with a bunch of kulos, the classical kulos within Yichud. It's Baila Be'ir, it's Pesach Pasua, blah, 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 etc. Then he comes up, the two parts that I underline, part one I underline, the two, Dehani Vahani Babitayu Treaty. They're both doing work. But Avagad, the time is Alevad Oloyaspik, Mikom Makom, Hevi Snifan Lahanach Tami Dalael. So the Radvaz does not want to use Abitayu Tarid alone as grounds to permit Yichud. He says, I have all these other reasons, and also it's Abitayu Tarid. And he writes clearly, even though this reason is not sufficient grounds on its own to permit Yichud, but it can be combined with the other reasons, and therefore it's okay. The Radvaz also, in his tshuva, is really talking about whether the woman becomes asura to her husband because of this yichud, right? So he's not really addressing whether it's permitted and all or not, but this is the Radvaz. Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Yaskil Avdi, the Yaskil Avdi was a Bovadia Hadaya, they both use Avitayu Torid to permit a doctor to have yichud with his patients. No? That means, against the Tzitz Aliyahs, that they both have to be involved. And we'd have to say some sphere like we were entertained before. If you look in this tshuva of Rav Moshe, a woman who has to go to a doctor for a checkup, etc. So Rav Moshe says that ma'isim b'chol yom, right? Every day, af noshim shal tamid chacham of yirei Hashem misyachdosim harofei, women, even wives of tamid chachamim, and people have tremendous yirei shamayim, have yichud in the office, and v'gam hi atma b'lo b'ayla holachas harofei, and she goes to the doctor without her husband being there. So what is this heter based on? Hine ha-heter shenis pashet u'mishum sharofei af imhu nachri. Even if the doctor is non-Jews, and yichud with non-Jews in some ways is more strict than yichud with Jews, that's another topic. Harehu tarid b'mlachto l'salek me'atmo ta'avaso. The doctor is working on himself, and the doctor is not going to have any taiva. Because abitayu tarid. Rav Moshe says it. That's the kula. Now, of course, we've all heard horror stories, but we must always on here.
Might it also be added on to this and sort of refresh it, is that you have to fear that you have like secular law also.
Okay, excellent. So,
if anything happens, affect that professional
life. So, there is another kula over here. Back to the Radvaz on the top of the page. Top of the second side of the page. The Radvaz first gives all the classical kulas of Yichud, then he says, Avitayu Tarid, Vitu. Right? I skipped one. Fine. I skipped one. You could read it yourselves why it's not underlined and why I decided to skip it. Fine. Got it. Vitu. Kevan de'osim melacha zu heim balei ha'umnis ve'heim tzrichim b'chol shalo havi nashim lasos melachton lomar ilachez kasayu. I think this is what you're saying. If I'm a professional, I need customers. I will lose my professional reputation if I start up with somebody. says the Radvaz, that other reason, and the Radvaz does not hedge on this reason. He hedges on Abitayu Tarir. But this other reason of losing my professional reputation, the Radvaz seems a little more comfortable with. And he says, therefore, it's very far-fetched to assume that they'll do an Aveira, and these reasons also might permit Yichud. Basically, once we have law, and the law says that if I, as a doctor, start up with my patient, I could have the book thrown at me, correct? And if I, as a psychologist, start up with my patient, I could have the book thrown at me. So then, there. So perhaps that's a kula. Now, don't we have to be concerned, though, that maybe the patient will be enticed to want to be with the doctor? Right? If rape, really bad. Right? So we're not worried about that, because there are laws against it. But maybe the doctor will persuade the patient. Right? Either gender to either gender. It could happen both ways, perhaps. Do we have to be worried about that? So one could argue that in our world, where the laws are pretty strict, that a professional who even has consensual relations as part of practice with a patient has the book thrown at him. If you're a psychologist and you have consensual relations with your patient, you end up in the clink.
Even 2 years later.
What?
Even then, I think after up to 5 years, and even then, extenuating circumstances with a bar patient.
How did you say it again?
You can even have relations with a former patient.
Even a former patient within 5 years.
Like 5 years, even so, after that, it's still.
You still get thrown in the clink.
Exactly.
Right. So, I'm not sure if clink is English or Yiddish, by the way. That's something for you to think about. But the fact is, the fact is, this is probably the better kula for yichud in professional situations. Is this kula absolute? It's based on the Radvaz, but the Radvaz is only using it as a sniff, no? The Radvaz is only using it together with other grounds for leniency, of bialo be'ir, etc. So, if you go to a therapist of the opposite gender, and the therapist is bialo be'ir, right? Her husband's in the city, so that, I think, certainly is going to be okay, according to the Radvaz. Especially in our world, that people do get prosecuted for this. I'm not 1,000,000% convinced that this is an amazing kula, but it certainly is what to rely on. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I would say, certainly would rely on this type of kula, like we saw he does. No? Rav Moshe says, umnos el tarid, that you're busy with your work, but this other kula, I think, is better than umnos el tarid. But Rav Moshe himself is the authority who allows other deterrents to permit yichud. Meaning to say, Rav Moshe argues that, you know, we spoke about adopted children. Is there an issur yichud with your adopted children? You're not biologically related to them. So we mentioned the Lubavitcher Rebbe felt for this reason you shouldn't adopt. If Soloveitchik was make on adoption, Lubavitcher always used to come up to yeshiva to get kulas to adopt, and Rav Soloveitchik is saying, like, why are you speaking to me? You never ask me any of the other shailas. Right, that's a story that we mentioned. And Moshe Feinstein basically maintains that in the case of stepchildren, at least, and we'll say by stepchildren, Moshe Feinstein maintains that there's a kula for yichud, even though the stepfather is not related to the daughter. But says Rav Moshe, you're worried that the daughter is going to tell mom. Right? If dad will start up the daughter is going to tell mom. And mom's going to let dad have it. And that deterrent itself, Rav Moshe says, is enough to permit the yichud in those cases. That means that Rav Moshe is inclined that additional deterrents, which are not really found in Shas, do help. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, throughout his tshuva, seems to be machmir, that additional deterrents don't really help. Rav Shlomo Zalman, the tshuva I give you, this is something I heard from Rabbi Tzvi Sabalovsky years ago. Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about whether you're allowed to be an ambulance driver in the shtachim. What's going to happen? Some woman goes into labor, right? Or, and she has to go to the hospital. You're an ambulance driver. Isn't there a yichud? You're driving on these roads. It's just the two of you. Isn't that a yichud? So, basically, Reb Shlomo Zalman said, so it could be that's Abitayu Tarid, that you're osik in the driving. Do you have to worry that maybe you're going to go off the road? Do you have to be what? What? She's in labor. Right? What are you thinking? Right? You might lose your job, by the way. If anyone catches you starting up with the woman in labor in the back, you're going to lose your job big time, correct? I think this case is a pretty extreme case that, like, of course it should be mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, oh, sir. No? In other words, all of these extra deterrents that we're trying to talk about, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't think permit yichud. So, are there other kulas that we could come up with for yichud? That we'll talk about after Batya's question.
Where they have some sort of check on their actions. And so maybe what Rav Moshe was saying that held 30 years ago even, today is whittled down. Not saying that Rav Moshe didn't apply.
I'll say it like this. I think concern for losing your job still applies. Now, the problem is how many horror stories do you have to hear to assume that the kula no longer applies? Right? In other words, as much as there are laws on the books that if you're a psychologist, even 5 years after you're done with the patient, right? But does it happen? Yes. Right? It even happens that rabbis do stuff like, right? We don't like talking about it, but it happens. How many horror stories do you need to hear? That's a very hard question to answer. I don't know. But I think we have to recognize the fact that, you know, there everyone who is a therapist inevitably ends up in yichud situations, correct? What kula is there? What kula is there? Like, we have to justify the action that is being done not by just a few people, but a very, very large group of people. And I think the best justification we have is this deterrent of losing the job, even though I would be inclined that Reb Shlomo Zalman does not hold of this. Is there any justification that we could come up with, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, to permit yichud for a therapist? For Reb Moshe, I think we got one, the professional thing, and certainly the fact that you might lose the job, at least according to that line in the Radvaz, I think that is some justification. David?
Professional thing, meaning does that necessarily not depend on gender, or that might that depend on which person is the doctor or therapist, and which gender the doctor or therapist is, and which gender the patient is?
I'm not sure. The Tzitzeliezer discusses a man going to a woman doctor and whether these kulas would apply. So, I think the second kula of possibly losing your job would apply in both directions.
Right.
The other kula also, I didn't fully understand why the Tzitzeliezer makes a distinction between the male doctor treating a female patient, which he says is permitted, and the female doctor treating a male patient, which he says you should avoid. I didn't fully understand why that would be true.
Wouldn't it be because if our assumption is that it's the man who is likely to initiate and the man who's got the who has more of the...
But I think if it's Avitayu Tarid, so I'm busy doing work, I'm not going to allow myself to be dragged into a relationship. I'm busy working. I have patients to see. I'm a working person. Like, I can't do that.
I don't know.
I wasn't convinced that the distinction, certainly the second distinction, I think applies in both cases.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Fine. Now, are there other callers? So, Rav Shlomo Levy is the Rosh Kolo for Halacha in the Gush. No? So Rav Shlomo Levy wrote an article in Tchumen Volume 30, which was around 3 years ago. I think right now they'll put 33 in Tchumen. So this is 3 years ago, where he deals with cameras as a way of solving yichud issues. It's a very well thought out article, and it might be a great idea for people who are professionals to try to install cameras to help solve the issue of yichud. Now,
privacy issues.
What? You might have privacy issues. There are different ways of. What?
You have to get consent from the patient to have such a video.
You might have to get consent from a patient to have them on video, correct? And that might hurt you professionally because people would have to sign a waiver. Alternatively, do you need consent also if there's live streaming? I think so. Probably you do. Okay, so assuming you have consent and you do it, so it might not be, again, I don't know whether this will hurt you professionally. I think your initial feeling is that that would destroy you.
I work in a school.
What?
I work in a school with
kids. Right. Okay. Now, do we have to worry, if I have cameras, though, that a few things. Cameras don't show everything, no? If I have a camera, it's pointed in this direction. So when I'm sitting over here, I'm on screen. But maybe I'll move over there. Alternatively, maybe I'll turn off the camera.
Get four cameras.
Get four cameras. Have lots of bugs. So that's the question. Is cameras a viable solution to Yichud? So what Rav Levy suggests, which I think is interesting, is that it's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. There's a case in the Gemara, if you have two, right, turn the Beis Yosef quotes this over to side 4 of the page. Shnei batim zelofnim mizeh, noshem b'fnimi v'ari noshem b'chiton o'behepech. You have men in the inner chamber, women in the outer room, or the opposite. Is there a concern of Yichud? So Rashi understands the Gemara that that's a Yichud situation, even the way it is. Because, since one person could leave and go into the other room, and that would create a Yichud situation, again, depending on who leaves, which gender, potentially that could create a Yichud situation, so also, it's usher even right now. The Rambam understands, however, that Anoshim Bifnim V'Anoshim Bachutz, Anoshim Bifnim V'Anoshim Bachutz, is usher only once one of them left. That means that according to Rashi, I'm worried about the potential of Yichud, and according to the Rambam, I'm not worried about the potential of Yichud. I'm only worried about Yichud in the here and now. Now, Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like Rashi. It paskins like the Rambam, which means I'm only worried about Yichud in the here and now. I'm not worried about the potential of Yichud. Some say, one second, according to Rashi, if I worry about the potential of Yichud, how come there's ever a kula of Pesach, Pasuach, or Shasar Abim? How can you ever have a leniency because the door is open? Don't you have to worry that you'll close the door? So, the argument goes, and this is what Rav Levi maintains, that Pesach, Pasuach, Hoshos HaRabim is not a Yichud situation at all. It's like I'm out in the public. Right? We spoke about this when we analyzed Pesach, Pasuach. If I'm out in the public, there's zero Yichud at all. So, okay, there's no Yichud there. So therefore, I'm not worried that you'll close the door and create a Yichud situation. But in the case that the men are in the inner room, the room, the outer room, all the rooms are part of the same house, so technically it is a Yichud situation. You're all in the same enclosed area. So that's why it would be a problem, according to Rashi. Now, Velevi's argument basically runs as follows. He says that the cameras is the same as, not Pesach Pasuch or Shasar Abim, but Chalon Pasuch or Shasar Abim. We mentioned the truth in the Node of Yehuda, that's relevant like whenever you go in the car, that the door is not open. Most people, when you drive down the highway, you don't keep the door open. But the, right, that takes talent. But you do have windows. So Chalon Pasuch or Shasar Abim, the Node of Yehuda says, is a kula. Question, is Chalon Pasuch or Shasar Abim is it a kula that it is a yichud situation, but because people can see in, that permits it? Or do we view it like Pesach Pesach, that's not a yichud situation at all? This is Rav Levi's analysis. Now, this analysis is only merely relevant within Rashi. According to the Rambam, we're never worried about a potential yichud situation. We're only worried when it's actual yichud. But since the Vilna Gaon is machmir for Rashi, in the case of Anoshim Bifnim and Noshim Bachutz, so therefore maybe it's a concern. And says Rav Levi, he thinks interestingly that Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagree about this point as well. He doesn't point out our original dispute, but let's look at Rav Moshe's tshuva about when a window is open to Rishas HaRabim, and then we'll compare it to Rav Shlomo Zalman's. If you have a window that's open to a public area, if the window is very high up and people can't see in, then it's forbidden. And even though you could technically stand on a ladder outside and look in the window, right, you probably get arrested for that, but still it's going to be usher because people don't normally do this. That people could see in. Zok Rav Moshe finds you can only permit Chalon Pasuk L'Shas Rabim if through the window you could also see in all the rooms in the area. But if that window from the outside does not allow me to see all the rooms in the house, so then it's usher even right in front of the window. That's Rav Moshe's argument. Why? Apparently, Rav Moshe feels that when I have a window that's open to Rishas HaRabim, it's not like it's a public open area. It's a yichud situation with a kula. The kula people could see in, but whenever there's yichud with a kula, I have to be worried that maybe you're going to zip out and go into a yichud situation. So Rav Moshe says the window does not help if there are areas that the people from the window can't see in. That basically means that windows don't help in most cases, correct? Because almost every case of a window, there's going to be some corner somewhere where you can't see, correct? According to Rav Moshe, the window doesn't help.
Is that the pool that allows you to go out and drive a car? Yeah.
To what?
To allow you to be in a car?
Yeah, I think so. But according to Rav Moshe, not necessarily, because I guess maybe in a car you could always see through the windows no matter where. Like, you could always see something. Okay, so maybe for a car it will help, but I don't know if in an apartment it will help through the one window. That's what Moshe says. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, however, contends that windows are an absolute kula by yichud. He says that, you know what, we're not worried. Right now there's no yichud. We're not worried that you're going to go to a different area. Here. In this same tshuva, about taking the pregnant woman to the hospital to give birth. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, we're not worried that you're going to take the car off the road and go somewhere else. We're not worried about that. Because, right, four lines to the bottom, in this situation, there's no yichud at all. Kimo, shemei ikar hadin mutarim ish v'isha lamod zman rav al yad chalon ha-pasuk l'shus ha-rabim. Af al gav shabayis gamri sagur v'yachol l'daber ima isha koma shiyirtze v'gam yachol l'fatosa lavar l'mokom seyser shumamish boso bayis. We're allowed to stand right by the window, even though technically you could move away from the window, go to a closed area. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it still is permitted. So long as you're in front of the window, it's permitted. Rav Moshe Feinstein is worried. If you're in a yichud situation, that you might go, a yichud situation with the kula, you might go to an iser. But if it's not a yichud situation, Rav Moshe is not worried. So according to Rav Moshe, by the way, he answers driving in the car. Oh gosh, no one could live like this, no? Rav Moshe writes, Nis tshuva, Nisi'a im isha bimchones. Are you allowed to drive in the car? So he says, L'chatchila, you shouldn't permit it. Da'af she'ika nisi'asam. Even though you're going to travel most of the time on the big road where there's lots of traffic and there's no yichud, but you can go off the big road onto a little road. And even during the daytime, maybe you're going to leave the car on the road and you'll go far away. And therefore, it's going to be missing yichud. As Rav Moshe Feinstein says, then these situations. Now, Moshe says that you could be mekel on going in the car if it's a situation that someone will be insulted if you don't give them a ride, etc. You could read the rest of the tshuva. But in the normal situation, Moshe assumes yichud is usher in the car. Why? Because since a car is a yichud situation, but there's a kula that people could see in, when there's a kula, you have to be worried that people will dray around the kula. That's Rav Moshe's understanding. So according to Rav Moshe, cameras won't solve the problem, even though when the camera's on, there's no yichud. But, right, it is a yichud situation, but there's a kula of a camera, maybe you'll turn it off, maybe you'll dray out of it. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, so long as the camera's on, it's going to be permitted. That is Rav Levi's argument. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was like kind of cool. You probably think I'm a little bit weird for thinking that cameras might solve the issue, but okay, well, good to David.
I'm just trying to understand, what would Moshe say about a situation where you've got an apartment and a window from which the entire apartment is visible? The window has a blind, which is currently open, but you could close it.
Rav Moshe. Right, so I think Rav Moshe would assume that since the way Rav Levi is understanding Rav Moshe, since Chalon Pasuach does not mean it's a public area, it means it's Yichud with the Kula,
right.
So you always have to worry that people will circumvent that Kula.
But then basically,
people will close the blinds.
Right, so in other words, Rav Moshe. I don't know. Maybe back in the day, a lot of people didn't have any sort of way of closing off the visibility from the outside.
Right. Especially because windows in their times are just holes in the...
Well, I'm saying, Moshe right. is talking a lot about...
The lower east side. And,
yeah, I don't know. This
don't know. I don't know. I think Rav Moshe, when I once spoke to Rabbi Willig about this, I once asked Rabbi Willig, when I was like dating, I was very nervous about this Rav Moshe, and like driving cars and stuff. So everyone was like, what are you worried about? No one holds a Rav Moshe. I think that's obvious. No one holds like Rav Moshe about this. But the fact is, the interesting paradox over here is that what we're presenting is two possible kulas for yichud in professional situations. One kula is this external threat of losing my job because if I start up, etc. That kula, Rav Moshe would likely hold of, and Rav Shlomo Zalman likely would not hold of. The other kula of the cameras, right, Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold of, and Rav Moshe would not hold of. So if you want to be Yosei L'chol HaDeos, right, so what you do is you have a camera, and you live in the country where you could lose your job if you start up. That's, I think, the way you could be Yotzei L'chol HaDeos. Again, this is not a simple topic. Like, when all is said and done, we've been learning Yichud now, I think, for 6 weeks. I think this is the sixth year that we gave on Yichud. I wish I had better solutions. And maybe if people could research and find, look around and find something better for this, I'd be very happy. Because, you know, either everyone encounters this at some point, you know? What is the kula? To go to a doctor, to go to a therapist, etc. And to assume that you have to work with the regular rules of yichud, like many poskim say, I think that's prohibitive. That just means that you can't go to doctors, right? In most cases. And certainly therapists, there's no way of doing it. So I think we have to say something. Now, no one has the cameras, as far as I know. And that...
Two-way
mirror. What?
Unless it's a two-way mirror, or you're being supervised.
Two-way mirrors. Maybe, or honestly, if the doorman knows, like, when people are coming in and out, does that serve as some sort of deterrent? If people stay too long? I don't know. I don't think people pay that much attention. It's very hard to come for the kula in these situations. It really is hard. At the same time, I think kula is necessary here. So we're going to have to work and try to come up with something better. We have a kula of losing the job, which the Radvaz does mention. That, I think, is the best thing we have. So, I thank you for listening. Next week, we'll try to talk Turkey, and then we'll talk about Geirus after the Yontif of Turkey. Okay, so thank you for coming and listening. Have a good night.